a great run from Whip Sanderson to Kenny Anderson and on and on and on. And this morning is certainly no exception. Andy Landers, the longtime Georgia coach, Women's College Basketball Hall of Fame, Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, and, of course, the great work he does in studio on ESPN with the college women's basketball coverage. One of our own, Carolyn Peck. Oh, actually, Andy's one of our own. We'll get to that, but in studio. But, Coach, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Coach. Hey,
it's good to be with you. How are you, fellas?
It's doing good. I'm surrounded by Tennessee Tech grads. I just let you know, right?
I like it. You're in good company, my friend.
Coming from a Western Kentucky grad, he needs all the help he can get,
oh,
Coach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, these Hilltoppers. We'll send them back to the hills if they're not careful.
Andy, I tell you what, I really enjoyed the NCAA women's basketball tournament. Some great games, drama in the semis, and certainly the championship game, and the work you do with Carolyn and Maria there in the studio. It really is enjoying to watch, but I think you're having a good time. That's what's coming across.
You know, I never cease to be amazed with all the good people that work at ESPN, and I mean that. You go to Bristol, Connecticut to do these things, and, you know, the producers are out of sight. Not only are they really, really talented, but they're really good people. And, you know, I've just found that when you're surrounded by good people, you typically do enjoy it, and it is that way. What you see is what you get. We have a good time. We enjoy each other. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Coach, you've seen a lot, obviously, a lot of NCAA tournaments, but it seemed like this year, the spotlight and the production levels, obviously each game getting its own national time slot for the first time ever, even on national broadcast TV. It just seemed like the now is a real crucial pivot point for the women's game in terms of eyeballs that are getting laid on it, and the production and the machine really getting behind the sport of women's basketball. Is that the sense that you get?
Yeah, there were a lot of things this year that came together, I thought, that made women's basketball just an outstanding product for fans to watch, for TV to have and to broadcast. You know, we went into the year thinking that it was wide open, that there wasn't a favorite, and the longer we played, the more I became convinced of that, you know. So, you know, it wasn't one of those years where you had a particular team that just dominated. And so I think it brought some interest to the sport. And then, as you mentioned, each game being able to stand along in a time slot and be broadcast on television in the tournament, and the games were well played, and a lot of them were close. Most of them were reasonably close. And the drama that played out as we went down, you know, I mean, watching your perennial powers like Connecticut and South Carolina, Baylor get beat, Arizona, you know, you had your Cinderella versus a perennial power for the national championship game. Yeah. You know, and the interest, the ratings, ratings were the highest, I think, in several years. And I think one of those days it was the highest rating ever. So it was a great tournament, and I think it positioned women's basketball very well going forward. And hopefully all those involved with the sport from a coaching and playing standpoint can move it on up another notch.
Coach Andy Landers with us, U.S. Army Legend of the Week here on the Shoot Around presented by Goggin Coldall. Andy, just what Tara Vanderveer, and there's so many people obviously pulling for her, the program, her third national championship of 29 years in between 2 and 3. That team, because of COVID, had to leave campus and spent 86 days. Think of that. I don't want to go anywhere for 86 days, okay? But 86 days away and wherever they were, in just in a bubble within a bubble once they obviously got to San Antonio. I don't know. You know, Coach, you've coached a lot of games. Could you imagine having to go off with your team for 86 days?
You know, that's kind of the epitome of what we went through this year with COVID. And the 86 days, no, to answer your question, I can't imagine that. Practicing wherever you could practice, I think in large measure they practiced a lot in a high school gymnasium without the amenities that you're accustomed to with your training room and all the things that it takes to do, or at least we thought that it took to do what we do, the sacrifices that were made. But I think it epitomizes what a lot of players and teams went through with the uncertainties. And more than anything else, I think it underscores how important playing college sports is to these student athletes, to make those kinds of sacrifices, to do the things that they did to get this season in and have the tournament that we did. I can't credit the student athletes enough. And I think it, again, I'm going to repeat myself, I think it just underscores, we talk about college athletics all the time from a fan standpoint and speculate and predict and all that. But at its core, the student athletes are what make it all possible. And I think that they make a tremendous statement this year as to how important playing is to them.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach, going to swing back, and I remember when I was on staff at Westmore at Chattanooga, and you hosted every year a de facto coaches clinic that really impacted me, and I know it impacted a lot of coaches, that you would just bring down to Athens, play a little golf, and then everybody would have sessions where, you know, you just kind of open the floor, and it was just open talk. It was one of, early on in my coaching career, I always hearken back to some of those notes, and you know, there were people from the same conferences there, be it the late Joe Curl or you know, Susie Gardner. I mean, the list would just the room always amazed me. Talk about, and what I'm getting at is, I don't think that happens enough in women's basketball. It happens in men's basketball, but the sharing of information, I always credit you with being one of the first that I was able to see in sharing information and trying to grow the game, which you did with your platform at Georgia. Talk about that and kind of where you see the women's game going right now.
Yeah, those were good times.
Yes.
Being able to share like that. And you know, what the thinking, of course, the men had been doing it. And I think the thinking was, at least from my standpoint, was you could go to coaches' clinics with with 200, 600, 1,000 other people and listen to coaches talk about X's and O's or philosophies. But oftentimes, especially if you had coached for a few years, you might go to one of those type of clinics, get up and leave and go, they confirmed some things that I was doing. That makes me feel good about what I'm doing, but I wish I had heard X, Y, Z.
Yes.
And you didn't have the ability to request those types of things. So I just thought it would be good if we could get some coaches together from time to time and talk about the things that we wanted to talk about, you know, whether it be X's and O's, whether it be philosophy, whether it be about ways to make our staff better or the game better. And I thought that to some extent we were able to accomplish that with those small clinics of 8 or 9 coaches just coming together and sitting around and sharing information and been able to ask each other, hey, what would you do in a time and score situation if you had 3 seconds left and the ball was over here and the other team was man? What would you do?
Yeah.
So it was. I thought it was really good for all of us. I hope that it was. I know I took a lot away from it. Where the game is going, I've got real concerns over, you know, as I think a lot of people do, over the things that are happening now within the NCAA that's going to affect all sports. This transfer thing is the most insane thing that I have ever heard of. I mean, who could have thought that this would be a good idea? And I think where it really bothers me is it violates, to me, the principles of college athletics. It flies in the face of why I coached. I coached not just to win basketball games or to help young people achieve what they could achieve out of their athletic potential, but also to help them grow and understand challenges and how to meet those challenges and grow as people. And I think the transfer thing's just going to blow all that up. I mean, I don't think I think it's going to hurt really. I was a people guy. I used to tell kids when we recruited them, you know, we don't care if we get all the best players, but we want to get the best people. And that's what we built our success on at Georgia, was the relationships. And you know, kids coming and going, you're not going to have those kind of relationships. You're not going to have Rebecca Rousey blowing into Athens yesterday with her family, calling me, wanting to come by, show me her baby. All that stuff's going to be gone. And I just think it's really sad, and I think it's hurtful to the development of young people. Let me just start over on that subject because it's a real sore spot for me.
But it's true. I was talking to a coaching friend yesterday. 1,397 entries in the Division I women's basketball portal right now.
Yeah,
crazy.
Absolutely, 1,300 kids in the portal, and what's, you know, I just don't understand how transferring helps. I just don't understand. I just think it's a, you know, let me go back. Here's the thing that I think that we've lost an ability to do, the ability to invest in something. And I think there's all kinds of reasons for it. I'm going to go real quick. When I went to college, if I had to do a research paper, I had to get a notebook, get up, go across campus, go to the library, pull a card out of the file, go find a book, sit down at the table, make my notes, get back up, go back to my room, get my Uniroyal typewriter out, type it up. If I wanted to use a phone, I had to stand in line in the hallway because there was just one phone out there. I had to stand in the line in the hallway of the dorm to make a call. If it's 10 o'clock, that line might have 6, 8, 10 people in it. You might stand in that line for an hour. If you wanted to hear your favorite song, you had to sit in front of the radio until it came on, and then you switch channel real quick, thinking you'd go to another channel, you might be able to hear it again. Well, what we got now is instantaneous. Everything's instantaneous. You got to do a research paper, Google it. You know, you don't wait on phone calls. The kids are in classes texting and taking phone calls. You know, your favorite song, you got all 600 of them hanging on your hip in your radio. And you think about that for a minute, it sounds simple. But at what point in a young person's life are they learning to invest in something?
Yeah.
You know, everything is instantaneous. And I thought that sport still gave us that. But now, if you don't like what's going on where you're at, if you're not play, if you wanted to play 15 minutes and you're only getting to play 10, you go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You don't invest in the work that it takes to get you on the floor longer, to make your game better and beat the person in front of you. you leave and you go somewhere else. And I just can't imagine that that's good.
That's so true, Coach. Ray, cut that sound bite. We need to get that to every outlet we have.
Just send it to Mark Emmert up in Indy. That's what we'll do.
That is so true. Thank you for sharing that, Coach.
Coach, it certainly didn't happen overnight when you took over Georgia in 1979. The program in its first six seasons, 37 wins, no budget, and then boom, I mean, you start and then your fourth year, you're in the Final Four, the first of five, by 85 in the national championship game, and then 23 NCAA tournaments, five Final Four, seven SEC regulars, four SEC tournament championships, 21 20-win seasons, and that's back when 20-win seasons meant
something.
When you
didn't play 40 games.
Yes, so, but just, it didn't happen overnight, and now coaches, if you don't have something going in the first two, 3 years, you're gone.
Well, I it's going to get to that. I don't think it's gotten to that hardly as quickly with the women's game as it is with the men's game. But it's going to get to that because the pay is such now, and the eyeballs on it are more and more critical. You know, with growth of the game, that is what it's going to become. You're going to have to get there, get it done at a high level, and you know, this is the thing. I watch the girl. I watch Adia Barnes, who I thought did a terrific job with that team. That wasn't the most talented team, but she did a terrific job, hung her hat on the defensive end of the floor, got them to the national championship game. I watched what Vic Schaefer did down at Texas, get them to the Elite Eight, and I'm going, I hope you guys understand something. And this is to the point that you just made. I'm sitting there thinking, I hope you guys understand something. You just created a floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, that's the expectation moving forward for those programs. Once you achieve, you know, once you go to the tournament, everybody in your fan base thinks you ought to go back. There's no reason. You already been. There's no reason you can't go back.
Yeah.
You go to the Sweet 16, that becomes the floor. You go to the tournament two, three times, that's not the floor anymore. It changes in under you. Now the expectation becomes, I don't understand why we just go to tournament and get beaten round 32 every year. You know, we need to make a change. You know, we need to get this thing on down the road. And so, you know, that it's a monster. I think Bud Wilkerson said it out at Oklahoma once, or Bear, what's the guy's name that coached the Oklahoma and then down at Dallas?
Switzer.
Barry Switzer said Bud Wilkerson created a monster, talking about the football program in Oklahoma, and it became his job to feed it. and that's right. I mean, and that's what you do as a coach. If you have success, you create a monster. But as you create that monster, you have to understand that it has to be fed. It has to flourish. It has to do well once you get there. And we were very fortunate at Georgia to have a long run of success that can be traced back to a comment that I made earlier, because it was all based on really good people. They also were good players, but they were really good people.
Coach Andy Landers, it has been a pleasure this morning. Thank you for taking the time. We could sit here all day and do this, but we really appreciate it. Thank you, and you'll be in Nashville next. I'll owe you the Southern Steak and Oyster again. That's where we met, and you came down to do the remote at the restaurant. You're going to be in Nashville next year for the women's tournament. It's on Tom. Tom's buying.
Tom, Mom, you got to meet me over there for breakfast because that might be the best I've ever had.
All right.
Hey, that's a deal, Coach. And we'll get a horse deal and some more farmland to you over breakfast as well.
I hear you. You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks Coach.
Yep.
The legend.